What's up, Clip Twits?
Oh,
that's Clipper's Twitter users.
I like that. I thought you were mad at Clipper Nation right
now. How's it going, guys? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
I'm positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers. Whether you're watching the show on Twitter, that's at Locked On Clips, or listening to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck else you listen to podcasts.
We appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. We're coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clipper content you can handle. Maybe even more.
Oh.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today, though. We're going to do a pregame of the matchup tonight against the Hornets, get into what we need to do to win and what could go wrong.
Oof.
Yikes.
Don't want to see that happen.
And then today is Tuesday, so we got our regular segment, which is Twitter Tuesdays, where we take questions from you guys and just talk about random BS on Twitter.
Thoughts on Doc's move to save Motley for the end of the season? We love it. We're going to get into that in a bit.
All right. And then we're going to wrap up with just a little, like a general kind of NBA talk and wrap up. So all that and more coming up right about now.
Yeah, so tonight we do play the Hornets here in beautiful Los Angeles.
Confirmed.
If you're going to the game, please be loud.
Oh, yeah, we need it, for sure.
I, like, understand if, like, the Spurs fans travel well or the Philly fans travel well.
Definitely.
But I swear to God, if the Hornets fans...
If the Hornets fans are somehow more vocal than the Clippers fans,
I'm gonna be pretty
we've all lost, regardless of the score. So, yeah, be loud.
Yeah. Let's hope. Anyway, this is the first meeting of the year between these two. Charlotte is 19-20, sitting at 7th in the Eastern Conference. Must be nice.
It's absurd.
Must be nice. Jeremy Lamb is good to go. There was some concern he might not play. And then Cody Zeller will not be playing tonight due to surgery on his hand.
Oh, man. We're Zellerless.
What was that? This was an interesting note you had about Eastern Conference teams.
Yeah, so we're currently 500. Against Eastern Conference teams just on the season. We're 5-5. However, in our last five meetings with the Eastern Conference teams, we're 1-4.
Not a good.
Not good at all.
Hopefully we can kind of bounce back from that right tonight.
Yeah. We got somebody chiming in. Gosh, the East is so bad. It is, and somehow we're 1-4 in the last five against those opponents. So let's hope that we can play
let's
up.
Let's turn that around.
Yeah, let's hope that we can play up. Just some quick stats. The Hornets are 9th in offensive rating and 19th in defensive rating, while the Clippers are very close at 8th in offensive rating and a disgusting 22nd in defensive rating.
That is much closer than I thought it would be or want it to be. Let's get into what we need to do to win. The biggest thing, I was just looking at some stats for this, teams playing the Hornets get to the line a ton.
Which is great news for this squad.
Fantastic for us. They average 22 free throw attempts a game. With our number two ranked free throw attempts situation, this could be one up the line for us. If this game gets close or some terrible, you know, we play horribly in the third quarter, something like that.
Yeah.
We're going to have to rely on the line to get us back into this.
Definitely.
One.
I wonder if fouling will be a trouble with Zeller being out. Hernan Gomez is a younger center, so you never know. You never know what could happen.
We're going to talk about Hernan Gomez against a certain viral sensation coming up in a couple seconds. they're 15th in pace, and we come in at 8th. So if we really decide to dictate and kind of run these guys, I think we could get out to an early lead, especially since they don't have Zeller. We could maybe tire them out.
Yeah,
and
that's
just get
fair.
Their reserve stretch.
I gotta disagree with you a little bit on this one. I think that pace, we can sometimes like get a little caught up on it, and it's actually like a little bit of a deceptive stat because
when you're
looking at pace, it's accounting for possessions per game, which also accounts for the other team's possessions. So
yeah.
If you play a lot of slower teams, your pace is going to look worse on paper.
For sure.
Where I would say their time per possession is generally somewhat quick. It is a little bit ISO dominant, so not super fast.
They got the ISO god.
Yeah, but I think that these guys, if they get out into transition, it's going to be a really rough night for us.
You put a good one in here about rebounding.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So rebounding is going to be huge. Obviously, it always is. But we snag about 46, we'll call it, per game versus their 44. So very close. But we have a much better ranking on the offensive glass. So I really hope that we can try to capitalize on any second chance opportunities. Although there won't be any, because we're gonna shoot for 80%+ from the field.
Yeah, that rebounding is gonna be huge. Gortat's been rebounding the ball very well lately.
Yeah.
So it'll be cool to see if he can kind of continue that streak.
Definitely.
We're gonna have to stop Kemba.
Yeah.
He's your boy.
Oh, yeah. Big Kemba fan.
He's their killer. If we shut him down, I am more than happy to let Jeremy Lamb or Malik Monk try and make up for his
definitely
that lack of scoring.
And like the points per game.
I hope
scoring.
We see Motley more. So the new movement on Twitter is hashtag more Motley. He's been freed.
Getting Gortat at the triple double tonight. Man, I hope so. I think the matchup of Gortat versus Hernan Gomez is pretty interesting. We'll get into that later.
Should we get into what could go wrong?
Yeah, let's talk about what could go wrong.
I mean, just see the last point we made.
Yeah.
Kemba could just at any time decide to destroy us.
Oh, yeah.
Kemba, which he does with every mortal that he plays against.
Kemba could definitely take over. They're first in turnovers, which I did not know that they led. Like, no, they have the least amount of turnovers in the league. And we're 16.
That's shocking for a team that's, that's 17 games.
Yeah, that's 19 and 20. If we're playing sloppy, it's gonna come back to bite us.
Which can happen. I think this might be one of those random games where we might see Boban for a little bit for no real reason.
It makes sense just because their other center, Hernan Gomez is 6'10". He's a smaller guy.
And they got Comiskey starting, and then Hernan Gomez, and then Bismack is the other guy.
Oh, so maybe I forget that they have Bismack.
I do too. So maybe we could see it, but that's gonna be a big thing for turnovers because Boban, if his hands are stone, which you can tell immediately on the entry pass, that'll be key.
Just piggybacking on the turnovers. So we're last in the league in steals, dead last. And Doc has talked about this, and he says that it's because we're a conservative defense, but we don't really take gambles.
Yeah, okay.
And I just think if you're the 22nd ranked defense,
maybe take
a few gambles.
Maybe
I don't
throw
know.
The dice.
I think that if they end up getting a lot of steals combined with the turnovers, that'll just compound that what could go wrong scenario into something truly horrible.
Yeah, that would be bad. If we're cold from three and they heat up, we could be in a bunch of trouble. They take 9 more threes a game than we do.
Wow.
Which is a pretty large amount.
I mean we considering take like, we take what 26 or
yeah
something
so
like
they
that.
Take a third more threes than we take per game. They shoot around 36% from deep, which is I don't know, fine-ish, above average, good. But if they get hot like that, that could really screw us over.
Yeah, and on the going hot thing, transition defense. I feel like we've talked about it so much on here. Miriam Swanson of the OC Register actually wrote a great piece about it. They are aware of the transition defense deficiencies. They are working on it. Apparently, it's really hard.
They are working on it.
Apparently, it's really hard to get players to run hard in practice to practice transition defense when they're midway through a season.
What do you think they got to do with
it? Just
pipe in crowd noise or have Ballmer just yelling at them from the sidelines?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll cheer on the side.
Yeah. So we're going to get into some matchups. This might be the most important one. Kemba versus AB. Shea got to be more aggressive tonight. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, it would be awesome to see a monster Shea line. Kemba versus Avery Bradley. This is who's going to guard him, right? I don't want Shea on Kemba.
Yeah, I would guess that Avery Bradley guards Kemba.
Who are you going to root for?
He's generally the on-ball defender. I mean, I hope Avery Bradley does really well. I hope he can score more than 0 points. I hope he can look good on defense.
Me too. Nick Batum versus Tobias.
Yeah, so Nick Batum obviously falling off a little bit athletically. He's had a bunch of injuries.
Shots fired.
but we need our forwards to have a big night tonight. I just don't see a situation where they're not both in the 20s and we still win this game.
So we're thinking, how big is the Tobias cushion? I had 50.
50
is what I hoped for.
I think it's got to be in the 43 to 45 range.
If you're new to the podcast, Tobias and Gallo combined. They are one being when playing well.
Yeah, I think that
43. That gets it done. I think for sure.
But yeah, I think that that matchup with Batum. I mean, he is a solid defender. I think that Tobias could have a breakout game. If he's really going for it,
it'd be rad. If not for Tobias, bench versus bench, always huge. They have Miles Bridges coming off their bench, which is probably their most dangerous non-starter, especially with Zeller out right now.
Yeah, and he can get it kind of anywhere. He can finish around the rim.
He
can shoot. He can shoot well. He's a solid piece.
That's going to be interesting. Tony Parker versus Beverly is going to be really fun to watch.
Yeah, okay.
That's going to be just a really cool, if you've loved basketball for a long time and you want to see two old dudes go at it, that's going to be fun to see. And then kind of going off of your Batum versus Tobias thing, Williams and Gallo going up against each other. I think we can feast on these guys.
I agree.
If the ball movement with Shea and Gallo and Tobias was working like it was against the Magic, it's going to be no contest.
Pretty solid size advantage there, too.
And Lou Will We Trust? Damn straight in Lou Will We Trust. Kind of an interesting center matchup.
Yeah, so without their starting center, I think that the B unit is actually pretty interesting. Willie Hernan Gomez, I'm a fan of both the Hernan Gomez's.
For sure.
And I feel like matched up against
the Gomez
Trez,
boys.
They're both somewhat undersized as centers. He's definitely more traditionally sized. They're both 24 years of age. Both got a lot of energy. Both really want it. They're both kind of spark plugs.
So it could be a bit of a feisty matchup down there is what you're saying.
I think that it could be a feisty matchup down low. And
do you think it'll get as chippy as the 76ers game?
I don't know. I don't know if it'll be hard fouls. I just think that it'll be intense.
Professional
play.
Fouls.
I think it'll be physical.
I love watching Trez because he's one of those guys who's so intense, but you're like, you're still being respectful.
100%. Like, yeah. And he has a little bit of a height disadvantage on Hernan Gomez, but he's having a way better season.
And he's bigger. He's a thicker dude than Hernan Gomez.
Definitely. So it'd be good to see a big game from Trez tonight.
Speaking of other centers, Jonathan Motley got transferred back to the LA Clippers. More Motley. Hashtag more Motley on Twitter.
More Motley.
I was thinking we could maybe see him versus Hernan Gomez. I think Bismack Biyombo's too big for him to get put in against.
Okay.
Bismack's a way bigger dude.
Yeah, for sure.
So it'll be interesting to see if he gets any minutes tonight. I'm sure Clippers Twitter will be looking forward to it. I hope Shea has a big game. No real matchup on this one. I just hope he can continue. He had 9 assists a couple games ago, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
So it'd be cool to see his assist numbers go up.
Yeah, their backcourt defense isn't obvious. I mean, isn't as good as ours.
Yeah, damn straight. What do you got for a prediction?
So I actually think this is going to be really close. The Hornets will kind of wreak havoc on teams for like 3.5 quarters. Anytime
sounds familiar.
Anytime games are within 5 points, I'm pretty sure they have like a really crappy record. I don't have the exact numbers with me, but I think it's going to be close. But we're going to take the cake, 113-115 Clippers.
Wow.
I wish it was going to be a
very close.
I wish it was going to be a bigger margin. I just don't know if it will be.
I think the Clippers are going to win. I think it's going to be 125-119. So close ish.
Right.
That'll be 3 in the row for the Clippers. We're all going to party after this game. Coming up after this maybe advertisement, I don't know. We're going to get into some Twitter Tuesday stuff. So I asked Twitter for a couple of questions. I got one from Colin J.J. Krause. Fantastic name. Do we trade Gallo for cap space? To who and for what?
No.
No. Pretty firmly, I said no. I don't think so. Eric Dade replied and simply said, Zubac.
Zubats.
So, no. I don't want Zubac. 117-107 Clippers, that would be tight. I don't want Zubac. I mean, he seems okay. He's 21 years old. He makes $1 million a year. Also, no idea how that trade would work if we traded.
Doesn't make Gallo any sense. Unless I'm holding on to Gallo unless we know the cavalry is not coming in free agency.
Yeah, or unless there's some, knock on wood, horrific rash of injuries.
Yeah.
Where somehow, if we get a bunch of injuries, it would be kind of insane if Gallo didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
Which would be pretty nuts. But I think we just hold on to the team right now. I know a lot of people are anti-Bradley right now. I'm a little anti-Bradley.
For sure.
Gortat's been playing well, though. But the makeup of the team, this seems like a very gelled team.
Oh, yeah.
And Gallo is such a big guy who's having a great season.
The biggest guy.
He's the strongest guy in the NBA. We still have not had any proof that he is not the strongest player in the NBA. So
prove me wrong.
Good luck, science. He's a guy who's having a good season on the court and off.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, his vibes seem great in interviews. He seems really happy. I think if we got rid of him, it would be a huge blow to the team's morale.
I just don't see any sort of return on that that's going to yield an uptick in our amount of wins or really make the team that much better.
I mean,
at this point, you know, like at this point, could this change in the offseason when teams are like more willing to move stuff around? For sure. At the All-Star deadline, heck no.
Yeah, because it's just like, I don't know what teams would. He still has another $22 million on the books after this year. This has been, maybe not statistically, probably statistically, his best year.
Definitely.
He's healthy. He's already, we had a great hot take on our voicemail line that said Gallo was going to play 60 games.
Oh, yeah.
And we were going to be the 4 seed. That kid, it sounded like a young kid, 100% so far.
Very close. So whoever called that in, way to go.
He's totally on board right now. Clippers won. I just want to touch on one more thing.
The only teams, I don't see him going anywhere in the West. I don't think that Jerry would do that.
We got a good question from Clipperholics. Go ahead.
Nice. But the only teams I would see as a possibility is like the Sixers or the Celtics. Both could use him. The Celtics are maybe too big of nerds about defense to want him.
Defensive-ass nerds.
And the Sixers definitely want him. I just don't know what they have to give for him.
It seems like we'd have to package it up.
Yeah. There's just not enough. And I think that like just getting salary space is not enough. That's, no.
Yeah, we don't.
We don't need it.
We don't need it. Clipperholics just tweeted us a great question. Shout out to Clipperholics. Who do you bring back out of the current group next year? Keep in mind you have to leave space to sign at least one max.
Okay. Well, I mean, that really just depends on who we get.
That's fair.
Dream scenario.
I mean, we're obviously keeping Trez.
Yeah.
We're keeping Lou.
Yeah.
Clippers contracts. Literally everybody except Avery Bradley.
Definitely.
Is how I feel.
So we just got a quick question from Twitter. Why isn't Harrell starting? Will he be by the end of the year? No, he will not be by the end of the year. And he's starting because he's great against benches. Against traditional centers, it's just not that good of a matchup for him.
Yeah, Gortat is decent at starting. Here's a guy who I'm not sure we re-sign next year. Back to the Clipperholics question. If Mike Scott keeps playing like this, I think we let Mike Scott go.
I think Mike Scott is gone. I think Luke is gone. I think...
Luke? It sucks that Luke is gone. This is a really good question, Clipperholics. This is difficult for us to deal with. Luke is probably gone. Scott is probably gone. Do we bring back Beverly?
I'm on the no board.
For like $4.5 million a year?
I guess for $4.5 million, sure. I just think that there's better backup point guards you could get out there.
Here's another one. Do we keep Gortat?
Probably not.
He's at $13 million right now. I'm assuming that would be lower. Boban, I'm sorry.
Probably not
going to keep Boban. He's at $7 million. I don't think his next contract will be more than that. Milos obviously gone after this year. So really the only players we want to keep are going to be Tobias. We're going to hopefully trade Bradley.
Keep Gallo.
Keep Lou. Keep Trez. Shea, Jerome, Sundarius, Ty. Got a lot of guys to sign.
For sure.
Got a lot of guys.
So we got
to
a couple
sign.
Quick questions. How bad is Luke's injury? No one knows. He's been
we
1 week away
no
forever. And then somebody asked about Tobias Harris. Will we keep him? It just depends on free agency. If we can afford to keep him, I would love to see him. I think that he's a guy that we might end up having to overpay just because I don't know what else will be out there.
This has been a constant argument anytime. Not really argument. When we do live streams, it's most of what we talk about is how much money we're going to pay Tobias Harris.
100%.
We've kind of settled on like 4 for like, what was it?
I think 110.
Like
is,
4
as
for 110.
As high as I'd be willing to go.
It's kind of how comfortable
and
we feel.
And that would like make things very difficult if we sign a max.
For sure. So 4 for 110. But someone's going to offer him more probably.
Yeah.
Which really kind of sucks.
Somebody asked if the fit is bad with Jimmy Butler. Do we trade for him? I'm in the no camp.
We don't want that guy.
I just don't think that that's what we need. A great question from another user was, what do we do about the center position? I've said it once.
God, who knows?
I'll say it a million times. Willie Cauley-Stein.
Yeah, that's a big target we want.
Go ahead. Unless we get AD.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. AD kind of said that winning is his main priority, and then someone's like, well, what about the Supermax? And he was like, well, we'll wait and see. It's like, all right, that's not a good answer. I like the... there's a great quote, kind of just shifting gears, by Doc about how the franchise is kind of indebted to CP3, Blake, and DJ.
Definitely.
Do you think we'll bring any of those guys back at any point? You think there's a couple one-day contracts in there at the end of their career?
Oh, a one-day?
To retire as a Clipper?
I don't know, maybe.
I think maybe Blake.
Yeah, I think maybe Blake.
CP3, I think, is going to try and play until he's 45 and get a max deal.
Yeah,
so for
sure.
That's kind of true. What about Derek Favors if the Jazz wave him for a center next year? That would be cool. I wouldn't be mad at that.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
That'd be pretty cool.
Baron Davis coming back,
I don't know, in a week and a half. we'll wave Luke and we'll get Baron Davis. Man, any other quick questions? That Clipperholics one just has me freaking thinking right now.
Yeah.
Man, we do have, I am a little worried, we have a lot of guys to re-sign next year.
Definitely.
The Gallo trade, I don't think they would pull the trigger. I think that'd be an old Clippers move.
Definitely.
Would be to trade him for like some weird space for like second round picks or something.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
No, he's just too valuable.
He's so valuable. We got to get the, I miss DeAndre, all capital letters. We don't really. coming up after this, do a quick NBA recap.
So our sister team, the Sacramento Kings, took down the Magic, 111-95.
What up, sis?
Way to go, guys. De'Aaron Fox led the way with 20 for the Kings. He also had a sick dunk over Vooch.
He banged on him, dude. Vooch doesn't get banged on a lot. And if there's one thing
no.
I like to see, it's Vooch getting banged on by a skinny, fast guy.
our coveted free agent, Willie Cauley-Stein.
Come over to the Clips, dude.
He had a double-double with 11-11 and bocked him. Got the start. 15-8-7. Very impressive.
Bogdan's going to get paid when his rookie contract's up, dude.
Yeah.
He's going to be a max player.
How many years are left in that?
I want to say maybe 2 or something like that.
I want to say 2. Was he a rookie of the year?
Nah.
Are you sure?
I think he was in the running, but the Kings were so bad that it was like,
that's fair.
Who cares? Terrence Ross led the Magic with 20 off the bench. Vooch had 18 and 13 and got banged on. Kings are 1.5 games out of the eighth spot. If they make the playoffs, how many games do you think they win in the first round?
I think they can definitely snag one. Yeah. Just their style of play is so fast.
Someone's going to get tired.
It's like,
that team.
Yeah, it's like, it's irritating. And I think that, I mean, it has to be irritating.
For sure.
And I think that, yeah, you're able to sneak out a win. I don't know about much more than that. Maybe two. It just depends.
If they played the Nuggets, I could see them maybe winning like two.
Yeah.
Maybe stealing one in Denver.
Yeah.
Because Sacramento's also going to be rocking during those playoffs.
Oh, man. That's going to be a great home. I mean, like, if they make it, it'll be their first appearance in, I think, 16 years.
Damn. Good for them. Shout out to Sacramento.
I think they have the longest drought in the NBA right now, but I'm not positive.
I'm going to say that you said you're positive. The Los Angeles Lakers of Anaheim got by the Mavs 107-97. Lakers really put it all together. They were down in the first half and then held the Mavs to 13 in the third and 17 in the fourth.
That's incredible.
Brandon Ingram led all scorers with 29. Lonzo had 21, 7, and 5. And Michael Beasley added 13 off the bench.
What do you think this means for Ingram? I mean, like, he had this 29-point game, but like,
I think it means nothing.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like he's not really having these types of performances when Bron is on the court. They're not that complimentary to one another.
And Magic said before the season started that if Brandon Ingram didn't score 20 points a game, it was a disappointment. And it's like, dude, he's not that guy.
Yeah.
He's not a go-get buckets guy. He's like, he ran point. I listened to this game on the radio a little bit. He was running point, and he was running point, and Lonzo was the off-ball guard. And they were, it sounded like they were absolutely crushing it.
Interesting, because he has good playmaking.
That was his whole thing in college. He was never like, he had bad free throw percentage in college.
Yeah, he wasn't a shooter.
Which is a pretty indicative thing.
That's what they need him to be right now, is a three-point shooter, and he's not.
Yeah, and like, they should just let him do his thing. Doncic did his best for the Mavs with 27-8. DeAndre had 10-19.
That's insane.
I know. Only 12 assists for the Mavs.
Oh, how many the Lakers have?
28.
Oh, man. That's a bit of a mismatch. How far do the Lakers go in the playoffs?
First round exit
firmly.
Firmly.
I think it depends on seeding.
I think if they play us, they're out in the first round.
I mean, 100%.
Because I think they're not going to be above the four seed.
Absolutely not. I think it's going to be, I'm saying it's going to be really hard for them to even get to the five.
Do you think there could be, you think they might be like a last game in, winner in situation?
Oh,
I think there's going to be like three teams that it's going to weirdly come down to like last game of the season, last two games of the season.
Remains to be seen, but as of right now, it looks like it might be even tighter than it was last year.
Yeah. God, I don't want that to happen. New Orleans helped their keep AD cause with a 114-95 win over those pesky Grizzlies.
Yeah, AD had 36 and 13.
God damn, dude.
Man, it'd be crazy if he didn't leave.
He's going to leave. His quote, I think I mentioned earlier, his quote, they were like, what do you want to do? He's like, winning's all I care about. And they're like, what about that Supermax? And he was like, oh, you know, that remains to be seen. You know, I'm not really thinking about the giant contract they can offer me right now. Frank Jackson had 17 off the bench. Julius Randle had 15-9.
Mike Conley was the Mama Grizz.
Mama Grizz.
Which is the highest scorer for the Grizzlies on any given night. He finished with 22-10. J.Michael Green poured in 16-5 off the bench. Jared Jackson had 12, man. Really, really solid pick for those guys.
Yeah. Not a lot of contributions from the Grizzlies outside of Conley and Green. They're 2-8 in their last 10. They kind of fell off a cliff.
Yeah, kind of rough.
That's going to happen, though.
Yeah.
That does it for us, you guys. If you tune in on the live stream, big shout out. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing another one Thursday as of now.
Yeah, that's the plan. Thursday after the Nuggets game. Tune in.
Will might be doing one solo after the Saturday game. I have to move. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I just put him on the spot about that.
I don't know. It depends.
Coming up tomorrow, we're going to have a recap of the hopeful victory against the Hornets. What could have been Wednesday, where we take a look at the Arrowlil universe.
What could have happened if things turned out a little bit differently?
Thank you guys for tuning in. I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike.